Today on the Gary Zimak Show, we'll take a look at how the Lord feeds each one of us spiritually, and we'll also explore the spiritual works of mercy. Stay right there. It's coming right up. Hey there, welcome to the Friday edition of the program. How are you doing today? My name is Gary Zimak. Great that you could stop by and visit with me. On today's program, we'll take a look at the Mass readings from Sunday, or the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's all about how God feeds each one of us spiritually. You know, we do need spiritual food. Oftentimes we don't realize it, but we definitely need spiritual nourishment in life, and the Lord takes care of that for us. We'll also take a look at the spiritual works of mercy as part of the Hidden Power of Kindness segment that we do every Friday on the program. I hope you're all having a wonderful week. And right now, as you hear this, I am on my way to Chicago to speak at the IHM Homeschooling Conference. I'll be there for the weekend, but God willing, I'll be back on Monday and we'll continue a new week of the series. I want to mention one more time that beginning in September, we will be starting the preparation, the 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary, using the method popularized by St. Louis de Montfort. We're using sort of a modern-day version of it, the book put out by Father Mike Gately, 33 Days to Morning Glory. We did it before. This will be the fifth year on the program that we've done or renewed total consecration. I'm going to be renewing mine. I hope that you'll join me as well, you know, whether you're renewing it, whether you're doing it for the first time. It's going to bear fruit in your life, and I can promise you that. I will be doing a show in the weeks to come, sometime before September, just to focus on it so you know what's headed your way. More information will be forthcoming. I'll let you know how you get the books, how we do this, but it's going to be happening. Just mark it on your calendars. The first week of September will start. I don't know the exact day, but we'll start during the first week of September so that we can finish and make our total consecration on October the 7th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. It's generally recommended that you make your total consecration on a Marian feast day. It's not an absolute requirement, but St. Louis de Montfort recommended this, so that's what we're going to do. And we've done it in the fall for the past 4 years, so I'm just going to stick with what's working for me. I'll never forget, in 2011, which is the first time that I did it, I was at the Catholic Marketing Network trade show. And as you know, I was there. Well, this is weird because I'm pre-taping this. Technically, I haven't been there yet, but it was technically yesterday and the day before. And it's there that I first met Ray Mooney, who worked for Tony Mullen's group, myconsecration.org. And Ray's the guy who recommended that I make my total consecration. And you've heard the story before. The rest is history. I did it. Greatest thing I've ever done. And I would strongly recommend that you do it as well. It will bring you closer to Jesus. You're going to get closer to him than you ever thought possible. And essentially what happens is Mary's going to help you to do that. And that's what total consecration is all about. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about some of the fears you may have. And honestly, there's going to be things you'll be concerned about. I'm sure they're nothing new. Most of us struggle with different fears about devotions like this, but it's fully approved by the church. It was one of the favorite devotions of St. John Paul II, so you have nothing to worry about there, but we're going to talk all about that. Stay tuned again for more information. I'll let you know as soon as I can put something together. Okay, sound good? Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day to serve you, to know you, to love you. We're very grateful, Father. We don't know why you want us here today, to give us another day, but we know that you did. If we're listening to this, we know that you have us here for a reason. So, Father, we ask you to let us know what you'd like us to do for you. A lot of times we come to you and we tell you what we want you to do for us, but how about if we switch it up today and ask you, what would you like us to do? Because we love you, you've been so good to us, we want to do what we can to help you. So let us know that. Please make that known to us. Certainly you want us to follow whatever duties we have according to our state in life. You want us to follow the teachings of your church. You want us to surrender our will to yours, especially when it comes to any suffering that comes our way. But then there's those other things that you may be asking us to do. Please let us be receptive to your message, whatever it may be, and be willing to say yes to you, as the Blessed Mother did, as Abraham did, as Moses did, and as so many other people did throughout the ages. Father, we ask you to bless those who are suffering today from sickness, from anxiety, from loneliness, from doubt, from despair. Those who are struggling with addictions, those who are dealing with financial difficulties, those who are dealing with weather situations, those who are suffering from religious persecution. Father, please help them. Grant them the strength that they need. Grant them a healing. Please remove the problem if it is best for the person. And Father, I ask you to use me this day on the program to speak your message. Please use me to speak your message, whatever that may be, and please open our minds and our hearts so that we would be willing to listen to the message that you have for us, especially as we read the sacred scriptures in a few minutes. And I also lift up to you all of our own personal needs or problems, things that keep us away from you, things that distract us. We give them to you, Father, knowing that you can handle them much better than we can. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh no, I did it again. I do this sometimes. I forgot to talk to the Blessed Mother and ask for her intercession. So let's do that. Blessed Mother, please help us. Please help us to get to Jesus. Help us to be able to find him in the daily events of our life. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't it amazing that I just got done talking about total consecration to Jesus through Mary, and I forget to turn to the Blessed Mother in prayer today? I mean, that's just, it's things like that that really make me understand that I need some help. You know, I need some help focusing. I need some help becoming stronger. I need some help, and I'm going to take all the help that I can get. That's why total consecration is a great thing. Mistakes like that keep me humble. You know, you feel bad about them, but they do happen. And certainly, they really happen to all of us. And the Lord allows things to happen for that reason, to keep us humble. We never want to start thinking that we're responsible for everything that we do or accomplish. The Lord is helping us. He's helping us greatly. And we never want to forget that. My name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to The Gary Zimek Show. We do this every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. We're now in our fifth year. Praise the Lord. Thank you for making it possible for me to be here for so many years. It wouldn't be possible without your financial contributions, without your prayers, without the fact that you show up and listen to the show. It's nice to be able to hang out with you every night here. God willing, I'm going to keep doing this for many years to come. But ultimately, the Lord's in charge, and we'll see where he leads me. Know that I want to do it, though. I just love this part of the day when I get to talk about Jesus with you for 30 minutes. With that in mind, let's take a look at the Mass readings for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, the beverage du jour today. You know, I don't know if I've had this one before. I probably have, but I can't remember. Here we go. If you guessed a can of 7-Up, you are correct. How's that? I don't know if I had 7-Up on the program before, but it's very refreshing sometime. That's the beverage du jour today. Hope you're enjoying your beverage and your snack. Let's talk about these Mass readings now. The first reading is from the second book of Kings, chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits and fresh grain in the ear. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat," but his servant objected. "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said. Now, when you hear this first reading, I would imagine that you're thinking about the multiplication of the loaves and the fish when Jesus fed the 5,000 people, right? Well, this actually is a foreshadowing of that miracle. And it's a reminder, and we're going to read about that in today's gospel. It's a reminder that God will provide for all of our spiritual needs. He's going to give us what we need to get to heaven by ourselves. And see, this is the key. By ourselves, we can't do it. But with his help, with the grace that he gives us. And there's no limit on the grace that he gives us. There is an infinite amount of grace that we are able to receive from the Lord. As long as we ask for it, as long as we're willing to use this grace, we can get what we need to spiritually nourish ourselves so that we can get to heaven. And that's a really great gift. You know, you talk about things to be thankful for. This is something that you should really be thankful for, this fact that the Lord will be able to give it to us, give to us what we need, and there is no cost. There's no cost for this wonderful gift that the Lord gives us. Now, also, we can look at, and we'll talk a little bit about this when we do the gospel, the fact that God can multiply our talents. What little we can do, God can multiply miraculously our talents, our efforts, and do great things through us. And that's what we need to keep in mind. A lot of times we sell ourselves short. Actually, we sell God short. And we think, well, I'll never be able to accomplish this. I feel that the Lord is asking me to do something, but I'm not really that good. I don't know if I'll be able to succeed. Well, that's where our pride starts to get in the way. We want to be careful to avoid that. We have to remember that with God, all things are possible. And the feeding of the 5,000 is an excellent example of that, as is this first reading passage. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 145, ties in nicely with the message. The hand of the Lord feeds us, he answers all our needs. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. All we need to do is ask the Lord for what we need. And we should be doing that every day, in addition to praying prayers of thanksgiving, of contrition, I'm sorry for the sins that I committed, of adoration. Lord, we adore you. We love you. We do want to pray these prayers of supplication or asking for what we need. But we don't always just want to ask for material things. The Lord told us that Jesus told us that the Father will provide us what we need. He said this during the Sermon on the Mount. He'll give us the material things we need. But what our job is to seek first the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, to ask for those spiritual things. Are we asking for spiritual blessings? Because we need them. And sometimes we focus too much on the material. We never ask for the grace of humility, the grace of perseverance, the grace of greater faith. We never ask for these intangible or spiritual gifts, and we really need to, because they're in reality more important than the material things. These are the things that are going to take us into eternal life. Material things, they're going to go away, but your spiritual gifts, they're very, very important. So we want to make sure that we ask for them. Second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. We are all, as baptized Christians, part of this mystical body of Christ. That's an important thing to remember. We are not lone rangers. We're not doing this. We're not going through life all by ourselves. We're part of the church. And we need to remember that. And as a result, we have to interact with a lot of different personalities. Some of these personalities are going to be a little bit challenging sometimes. Well, the Lord said we've got to love everyone. And we can never look at somebody and say, well, they're not any good, or they're not, nothing's ever going to come out of their life. Why should I listen to that person? And really write them off. We do that sometimes. We shouldn't do that. We have to avoid that. Because the Lord wants us to be united. He also doesn't want us to pick fights with our non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters. We can have an intelligent conversation. We can share the good news, the truth. We have the fullness of truth in the Catholic Church, but we want to make sure that we're not picking fights with them and that we're not just trying to win arguments. That's a really important thing to remember. Always avoid that. Always be charitable. Always be kind. Anytime we engage in some sort of apologetics work or defending the faith or evangelization, we always need to be doing it out of love. And we have to coexist peacefully. The gospel is from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. This is a very famous gospel. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who was going to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. You know, that's a really good story. And there's a lot, we could touch on a lot of different aspects to this story. But unfortunately, we're somewhat limited on our time. I want to make a couple of points. There is an absolute miracle that is taking place here. At one time, there were some crazy interpretations of the multiplication of the loaves where it didn't involve a miracle. But in reality, that's what's happening. Jesus performed a miracle. This is a miracle. And this episode is stated or told in each of the 4 Gospels. It's a miracle that appears in each of the 4 Gospels. What's interesting about this is the fact that Jesus just didn't create the food on his own. He could have. He certainly could have, because he's God. He's all powerful. He can do whatever he wants. But what Jesus did was he asked for the 5 loaves and the 2 fish from the boy who brought them with him. He always asks us to do what we can. He's going to multiply our efforts. So whatever it is that we have, he expects us to do the best we can. Do your best and let him do the rest. That really is what it comes down to. The Lord expects us to do something. He doesn't just want us to sit back and wait for him to do his miracle. But what he does, he expects us to do what we can. And that's what we need to do. We need to give it our best effort, not becoming overwhelmed by the fact that we can't accomplish things on our own. We all know that we can't accomplish things on our own, but we're not asked to accomplish things on our own. This is the great thing that the Lord, this is the great thing about the way the Lord operates. The Lord asks us to do what we can, and then he's going to multiply our efforts in order to do incredible miracles in our lives. But we need to trust him. That's the important thing. And if we look at all these readings, the first reading, the psalm, the gospel, we see this reminder that Jesus will give us spiritual food with no cost, which will never run out, which will help us to get to heaven. And of course, what's that food? That food is the Eucharist. The Eucharist gives us the grace that we need to be nice to people that we can't imagine being nice to, that we can, it'll give us the ability to pray when we don't feel like praying. It'll give us the strength that we need to endure when we don't feel like it. And this is how we're going to get to heaven. He's given us this living bread, his very body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Blessed Eucharist, which will help us to get to heaven. Please don't waste this opportunity. And I always like to suggest to anybody that will listen that if at all possible, if you can get to daily Mass as often as you can, please do it. It's going to change your life. If you're struggling, if you're having a difficult time, if you feel like you're just going through the motions with your spiritual life, you don't feel like you're getting close to the Lord, try making it a point to get to daily Mass, and you'll see unbelievable changes in your life. Now, not everybody can do this. Not everybody has the time to do that with work schedules and obligations. I understand that. But if you can go to one or maybe two extra Masses each week, you're going to see some incredible changes in your life. Just give it a try, and you will see. Now, if you have any questions, please let me know. You can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Questions about the readings. We want to do the second part of the show now, talk a little bit about the spiritual works of mercy. I'm getting this from a book by Father Lawrence Lovosik. The name of the book is Kindness. It was written in 1961. The book is out of print, but there is an abridged version, which is also very good, that you can still buy. It's on Amazon. It's on EWTN Religious Catalog. Very easy to get a hold of. And I would strongly recommend it. But in this book about kindness, we did the corporal works of mercy last week, which are these acts of these works of mercy directed toward bodily needs, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, visiting the sick. Today we'll look at the spiritual works of mercy. These are works of mercy more oriented to the spiritual needs of those around us. More distressing than bodily wants are the ills of the spirit. The chief spiritual works of mercy are admonishing the sinner, instructing the ignorant, counseling the doubtful, comforting the sorrowful, bearing wrongs patiently, forgiving all injuries, and to pray for the living and the dead. They are the spiritual works of mercy. Nothing in this world is so precious as a soul in grace, because it was bought by the precious blood of Christ. A lifetime spent in rescuing only one soul from spiritual ruin is a life well spent. If circumstances do not permit you to deal with many souls, be devoted to the few that a loving providence has placed near you. And this is a reminder for us of the need, of the great need, for us to show spiritual mercy toward those around us, to help others spiritually. Sometimes we can focus more easily on the material needs or the corporal needs than we can on the spiritual needs. The spiritual needs are actually more important, because just as that spiritual food we talked about when we discussed the readings, the spiritual well-being of an individual is going to get him or her to heaven. I mean, that's the importance of that. It's going to last longer than just this in this life. So that's the important thing for us to remember about that. Doing good to others is a selfless charity. Sharing the physical and material needs of others, lessening their hardships, soothing their heartaches, being instrumental in obtaining spiritual aid for their souls is Christ-like charity. All such charity is contributing to the welfare of the mystical body of Christ, the Church. Remember that second reading today when St. Paul was talking about this idea of we are all one body, that we are one Church, we are one body, this mystical body of Christ. And in effect, if I am taking care of your spiritual needs, as well as your corporal needs, but if I'm taking care of your spiritual needs, I am doing so for Christ. Jesus said that too. He reminded us that that is an absolute true statement, especially since you are part, and I'm part of the mystical body of Christ. Whatever I do for you, I do for Christ. So don't worry about the reward. Don't worry about somebody getting mad at you if you try to help them. spiritually, if you try to point out that they may be on the wrong path, especially with your children, maybe your spouse, maybe a close friend, a sibling. People need to be told sometimes that they are in jeopardy of losing their salvation. People make mistakes and people need to hear that. Now, when you do that, of course, you don't want to do it in public. You want to do it at the right time. You want to do it in a charitable way, but don't always expect a good response, because a lot of times you're not going to get a good response. You're going to get, who are you to tell me that? And that's natural, because a lot of us react that way. We don't like to be told that we are doing something wrong. So again, we want to be careful about that. When we have to help somebody, we do it out of love. We're not doing it to show them that we know more about the faith than they do. No. If I'm concerned that you might be going to hell by your actions, well, it's my duty out of love to help you. And that's what the spiritual works of mercy are all about. Let's see. I'm trying to just paraphrase some of this. I don't want to go into a lot of painful detail. I think we're just going to leave it at that, because I think that you get the point of the spiritual works of mercy. These are the works of mercy, the actions that help one another to grow closer to Christ, to grow spiritually. You're going to have people in your life that don't know Jesus. You're listening to this program. You're obviously caring enough to try to grow spiritually. A lot of people don't. They don't care. They don't even know that it's possible, because you're not going to hear this kind of information on mainstream TV. You're going to hear it maybe on EWTN, absolutely on EWTN. You'll hear it on my show. You'll hear it on other Catholic radio shows. But if you don't listen to or watch these programs, you're not going to ever know that it's possible. I mean, this is a fact. You may never know it's possible to have a personal relationship with Christ. And I'll tell you, as a Catholic, as a cradle Catholic who went to Mass every week for years and years, I sat there and did not know it was possible to have a personal relationship with Christ. I really didn't care too much. I didn't understand the benefits. I got drawn into that common mentality, which is very popular in the world today, that life is difficult, there's going to be suffering in life, and that we just try to make it through and do the best we can, but never that we can experience peace in the midst of our problems. I was not aware of that. And that's really sad, because it's an absolutely true thing. It is. That's why I'm so excited to go around the country letting people know that it is possible now. It is possible to have that peace, that joy, even while we're experiencing problems. So therefore, it might be up to you to share Jesus and his good news with those around you. Mother Angelica has said, you may be the only Jesus your neighbor ever sees. And you know, it's not just me on the radio and speaking and on TV. It's you talking to the people you work with, talking to your friends, talking to your family, letting them know that Christ is real and that he wants to be our friend and that he loves us and that we can experience peace if we have a close personal relationship with him. So there you go. There are the spiritual works of mercy. And looking at the clock on the wall, we are just about out of time. It's been a great pleasure to be here with you. And I'm not kidding around about that. I just love doing this show. I love hanging out with you. I love talking about Jesus. God willing, I plan to be back here on Monday as we continue looking at the sacraments. We'll start with confirmation on Monday. And again, I always say God willing, because if I have no control over whether I'm here or not, that's up to the Lord. But if he wants me here, I'll be here. And I certainly hope you will join me as well. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Let me know if you need anything. I'll be checking my email. So you can reach me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. I'll be praying for you. Please pray for me. Let's continue to help one another to get to heaven. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. And God willing, we'll see you on Monday. Take care.